The airlines don't like the government's ideas for solving delays. 8 airlines could face stiff fines for publicizing misleading schedules. And the FAA has another moldy building. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 25th, 2007. The airline summit called by Transportation Secretary Mary Peters got off to a chilly start on Tuesday when the DOT reportedly opened with a proposal to cut flights at JFK International by 30% by summer 2008. James May, president of the Air Transport Association, told reporters, quote, "Scheduling a meeting is a perfectly appropriate approach, but not when done with a meat axe," unquote. DOT says it is willing to look at a number of ideas, but the airlines have to stop making excuses and bring realistic options. DOT's Brian Termail added that cutting schedules is, quote, "a blunt instrument that limits competition and is known to raise prices," unquote. May says airlines could make slight adjustments to departure and arrival times and achieve a significant reduction in delays. He also threatened court action if schedule cuts were imposed. DOT appears to be firm, though, in its threat. Another tactic DOT could impose to apply pressure on airlines to schedule realistically is fines for carriers which advertise departure times they cannot consistently meet. The New York Times has reported as many as 8 airlines could face potential fines for failing to tell the truth in their flight schedules. The Air Transport Association has already launched a public relations initiative on the matter. ATA's David Castlevetter says delays cost the industry $6 billion a year. Quote, "No one has greater incentive to move its flights on time than the airlines," unquote. The airlines insist that customers are demanding popular departure times. DOT says fine, but you can't sell the public a popular time if you know you can't deliver it. DOT Secretary Mary Peters suggested this week airlines operating chronically late flights be forced to pay higher landing fees during peak periods in order to prompt airlines to voluntarily restrict flights causing the congestion. Carriers likely to face fines include Atlantic Southeast Airlines, ExpressJet, SkyWest, AirTran, Delta, and Comair. All of them operated flights that were late at least 90% of the time in August. Nearly half of ASA's flights were late. 2 of them arrived late every time they flew, according to DOT statistics. As ANN reported last week, a contractor repairing the building which houses the Atlanta Air Route Traffic Control Center pulled its workers and subcontractors off the job over high mold contamination levels at the facility. They're back at work now, but now the FAA has been forced to close the radar room at Gerald R. Ford International Airport in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for mold. Air traffic controllers, who say they've been complaining of sick building ailments for years, are not surprised. The Grand Rapids Press quotes controllers who say renovations 10 years ago resulted in roof leaks, and that during rain showers, controllers have to position their garbage cans to catch the leaking water. Controllers want the building replaced. The FAA says it's spending $400,000 to replace the roof and seal off a floor that contains asbestos. The agency says the flying public should not experience delays due to the closure of the radar room. On Monday, Columbia Aircraft officials announced shareholders have entered into an asset purchase agreement with Cessna. The terms of that agreement are said to be consistent with a letter of intent between the two parties, which was announced on September 21st. The agreement, which included a deposit, positions Cessna and its offer terms squarely in the crosshairs of other bidders. Columbia officials called it good news as they prepare for official bidding to begin November 27th. On today's Aero News special feature, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Granger Whitelaw, a venture capitalist who says his group's offer for the company was passed over by Columbia execs in favor of that deal with Cessna. Up next on ANN, so far, Discovery's heat tiles look okay. The University of North Dakota mourns the loss of a student and an instructor. And Boeing's financials hold good news and bad news. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 25th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The decision by NASA to launch the shuttle Discovery without waiting for repairs to three degraded heat shield tiles provoked some controversy earlier this week. On Wednesday, shuttle astronauts now in orbit conducted an intensive inspection to be sure those tiles were holding up. ABC News reported that detailed images turned up no significant problems. The images will be re-examined in detail by experts on the ground. Discovery is on schedule to dock with the International Space Station on Thursday. NASA says STS-120 is considered the most complicated ISS construction mission yet. During their 14 days in space, astronauts will install the Harmony module, which allows docking of other science labs to the station in the future. Harmony is described as about the size of a small bus. A search on Wednesday ended with recovery of the bodies of a University of North Dakota flight instructor and a 20-year-old student pilot. The Piper PA-44 Seminole twin disappeared Tuesday night between St. Paul, Minnesota and Grand Forks on a routine VFR training flight. UND spokesman Peter Johnson told the Grand Forks Herald, the Seminole departed St. Paul just before 9:30 p.m. local time Tuesday night. UND flight instructor Annette Klosterman and student Adam Ostapenko were on board the plane. The FAA sent out a search notice early Wednesday morning when the pilots failed to close their flight plan. TV station KARE quoted a Civil Air Patrol source in reporting the wreckage was found near Turtle Creek Township about 4 p.m. local time on Wednesday. This accident is the second fatal in less than a year involving UND students. Two students died during takeoff and landing practice when a Cessna 172 they rented crashed in a farm field near Crookston Municipal Airport in December of 2006. On Wednesday, Boeing reported a third quarter net profit of $1.1 billion, or $1.44 per share. That's up about 62% from last year's third quarter and exceeds the predictions of analysts, which boosted the company's stock price for a bit. But it didn't last. Boeing's forecast for revenues next year is being depressed by the recently announced six-month delay in development of the 787 Dreamliner, which will mean fewer of the planes can be delivered next year. Boeing CEO Jim McNerney said strong commercial airliner sales are likely to continue in the near future. Firm orders for Boeing planes now stand at 919 and could surpass last year's all-time record of 1,044. The plane maker also delivered more planes for the quarter this year, 109 compared to 100 for the third quarter of 06. Shares in Boeing were up briefly on Wednesday but fell off in midday trading. The Allied Pilots Association, representing 12,000 American Airlines pilots, is taking an interesting approach in framing the contract demands of its members. The union is highlighting the decline in the purchasing power of pilot salaries over the last 15 years and contrasting it to skyrocketing executive salaries. The union says American Airlines pilots make less now than in 1992, and that inflation has eroded the pilots' purchasing power by more than 33% in that time. APA says its proposal calls for pay rates equivalent to 1992, adjusted for inflation as reflected by the Consumer Price Index. APA President Captain Lloyd Hill is part of a newly elected union executive team armed with an aggressive mandate in a recent survey. On Tuesday, Hill said, quote, "Our pilots were unequivocal. It's time to restore their purchasing power. Moreover, that erosion accelerated dramatically for our pilots and their families with the deep concessions we made beginning in 2003. In sharp contrast to what our pilots have endured, American Airlines management has given itself what amounts to an exponential increase in compensation over the same period. What we are seeking for our pilots doesn't even begin to approach management's gains, unquote. APA states American Airlines' 5 named executive officers, as identified in documents filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, have experienced an increase of 469% in total compensation since 1992. For the CEO, that increase has been 723% to over $8.3 million in that same period, or 560% adjusted for inflation. Or, as Hill puts it, quote, by any measure, the past 15 years have been extremely lucrative for our airline's senior executives, unquote. Still ahead, the San Diego TRACON stays open through California superfires. NASA's unmanned Predator is spotting for firefighters. And the fires have shut down an LSA manufacturer. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 25th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Nightly TV newscasts this week have been filled with images of evacuations and destruction as wildfires have destroyed more than 1,200 homes in California. Schools are closed, sporting events canceled, but the air traffic controllers at the San Diego Terminal Radar Approach Control are soldiering on, or at least some of them are. The Press Enterprise reports that the facility, which handles traffic from much of Southern California, was threatened on 3 sides by fires, including one near the Miramar Marine Corps Air Station. The paper says many controllers who work at the center had homes threatened by the fires and did not come into work, but air traffic delays remained normal. The high winds did require diverting 6 flights elsewhere from Ontario International on Monday, but no diversions were reported elsewhere. Stephen Merlin, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association's facility rep at the TRACON, said for a time Monday officials discussed evacuating the building and handing off its airspace to Palmdale, but the fire threat passed. In response to a request from the California Office of Emergency Services and the National Interagency Fire Center, NASA was flying the Icana unmanned aircraft system on Wednesday in support of firefighters in Southern California. Back in August and September, NASA conducted demonstrations of the Icana, which is a Predator B modified for civil science and research missions. The UAV carries something called the Autonomous Modular Scanner, a thermal infrared imaging system developed at NASA's Ames Research Center in Northern California. The scanner sees through smoke and darkness to detect hotspots. Those images are sent by satellite to NASA Ames for processing, overlaid on Google Earth Maps, relayed to the Interagency Fire Center in Boise, Idaho, and from there they're sent to incident commanders for use in decisions on where to deploy firefighting resources. Mission managers say a second imaging flight may happen on Thursday. Each flight is coordinated with the FAA to allow the remotely piloted aircraft to fly within the national airspace system while maintaining separation from other aircraft. The Ramona Airport in California is owned by San Diego County and is normally a quiet home to about 200 general aviation aircraft and to Higher Class Aviation, makers of the Sport Hornet LSA. But this week, Higher Class President Robert Gaither says the airport became a command center and staging area for aerial firefighters. The LA Times reports a burned power line shut down the city's main water pumping station, and that forced relocation of the firefighters to Hemet. Gaither says the company's manufacturing facility is now out of danger, but production is shut down as many employees deal with fire threats to their own homes in the area. When things settle down, Higher Class will be back to business building the new Sport Hornet UL. essentially a new, lower-cost version of the Sport Hornet LSA. The UL is powered by a Rotax 582 two-stroke and is aimed at the ultralight training market. Gaither says the plane will be on display at EAA's Copper State Regional Fly-In, which opens today in Casa Grande, Arizona. And finally, today is the day Airbus has waited for 2 years longer than anticipated. The first A380 to be operated by an airline makes its maiden revenue flight today. Singapore Airlines auctioned off the seats on the first flight for charity and raised $1.3 million. That's a big number, but lots of big things seem small next to an A380, like $18 billion to develop the plane, and 400-plus sales needed before Airbus even begins to turn a profit on it. The Chicago Tribune quotes aerospace analyst Paul Nisbet of JSA Research in Rhode Island as predicting the A380 will take 15 years to catch on and then sell well, like Boeing's 747, which has enjoyed a 37-year run as the world's biggest airliner until now. U.S. airlines, which are strapped for investment capital right now, have yet to embrace the new super jumbo from Airbus. But no matter what you think of the A380, if you love airplanes and you know one's going to fly over, you're going to walk outside and look up to watch it. Come on, admit it. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with venture capitalist Granger Whitelaw about his bid to buy Columbia Aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.